Welcome to Ask Me How I Know, multifamily real estate investing stories of struggle to success, where each week, unscripted interviews with guests bring a fresh perspective to problem solving in the multifamily niche, as well as feed your mindset. Success stories are great, but everyone knows the important part of the story, the part between the struggles of starting and arriving, and it often gets left out. Ask Me How I Know is like the back house of a restaurant. Pass through the prim and proper front of the house and join us in the harmonious chaos of the back of the house where honest, unscripted conversations take place and transformation happens. In life and investing, there are no shortages of wild scenarios. So no matter where you are in your investment journey, this podcast is for you. There is no pomp and fanfare here, just endless opportunity to build your investing and mindset playbooks. This is your retreat to breathe, build, and laugh. Welcome to Ask Me How I Know. I'm Julie Holly, and I'm happy you're here.
Welcome back to Ask Me How I Know. And boy, howdy, we've got like so many adventures taking place right now. With me today, I have Monique Helm. And so I told her, I'm like, oh, I'm going to tell you this. I was going to tell you like right before I hit record. I'm like, no, I'll just hit record because you're going to hear it twice then. But I typically don't do introductions for people because I want people to go to the show notes. Like, I want to hear your story and your advice, your wisdom to share, right, with everybody. But today I have to do at least an introduction and a huge thank you because for everybody watching and listening, like, Monique is like, I literally get teary-eyed because when I heard you speak about syndication, it was like one of those like clouds parted, sea parted, everything like boom. Oh my gosh, Julie, that's like your path right there. And I had been listening to Bigger Pockets for quite some time. And I had actually been lamenting to a friend, like not in a bad way, but I'm like, wow, I love all these stories. But I'm like, it'd be cool, you know, if occasionally I heard, another woman on here and you were the first woman I heard and, you know, you just had so much positive energy and just, you could tell you were excited about what you were doing. And then you were describing what syndication is. And I'm like, oh my gosh, that is like exactly how I'm made up. So without you, I'm like, you're the first person I ever heard talk about apartment investing on this whole entire other level. So like, it's just, I want you to know what an honor it is to have you on Ask Me How I Know.
So, oh, that feels so.
Yeah. You're having an influence.
I'm so honored.
So many lives. It's so awesome.
Thank you. I'm like, that's making me teary. I'm so honored because it was like my mission is to help men create financial freedom through real estate investing. And like, anytime I hear any woman being like, I curse you or whatever, like that's what I live for. Thank you. So much to me. Thank you.
You know, and we don't always get to know the lives that we influence. So anytime I have an opportunity to actually share with someone like, man, you have had this profound influence. It's very special. So thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Well, we're living in this really interesting time that is a changing day. It's not just day by day. It's like hour by hour. Would you?
Yeah.
Oh, but my gosh. You guys. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I was like, I can't believe how different life is now than when we first scheduled this conversation. It's just night and day.
It's wild. Yeah. So I did not have toilet paper up here, but this is just like in the background we have toilet paper because like we just want to remember this era, this season, and we're going to get through it. And Monique was going to share, we're going to do a Q&A about, you know, an investment property in Albuquerque, New Mexico that you had. And then I'm like, man, you have so much experience and you've experienced other, you know, economic cycles. So I'm going to ask for, you know, let's do a playbook. Top three ways to hedge yourself right now with COVID going on. Like, what would you say every investor across the board? Because, I mean, we're all in different asset classes, but there are common ways of hedging ourselves and preparing. And I'm just going to throw out there, I really think disruption is an opportunity. So I'm
absolutely
really going for positive.
I think, and this is so good because I'm in the middle of, I'm doing a summit on this topic, like how do you prepare yourself strategy, psychology wise for this economic climate that we're finding ourselves in. And bringing together a bunch of really smart women that have also lived through these cycles, see how are they doing, and bringing together people in different asset classes that are particularly poised for this this season. And I want to start that saying that I have been preparing for this for a couple of years. I at least 2 years, maybe three. I knew we were overdue for something. I didn't expect a black swan event like this. I didn't expect the whole economy to shut down. I don't know if anybody could have expected this, but I knew that it wasn't going to be, upwards and onwards forever. There was going to be a time at which we're going to shift. So I had already started to look for recession resistant investments. And that was where my focus was. And I was focusing on getting diversified. So I did not have all of my investment eggs in multifamily basket. I did not have all or in any one basket. I was starting to get different asset classes, so I'd have more diversity. So that's the first strategy, I think, is to diversify, is to have, different types of investments, maybe different markets, where not everything is in the one place, not everything is the same type of property. That's probably the first advice that I would give.
Did you diversify also? Did you also diversify outside of real estate? Not necessarily saying Wall Street, but I'm saying there are so many asset classes that are very interesting out there.
Yeah. So mostly I've been in real estate, though I have, I did a startup, but it's a real estate based startup that I invested in. So mostly I was in real estate, and I actually started to I had been taking money out of my Wall Street, like my stocks and bond investments, and putting it into more real property. But for the most part, I was just in real property. I had a little bit of crypto. And I'm not.
Oh, I heard that. I caught that you had a little bit of crypto.
Crypto is so speculative. Not the underlying blockchain. That's here to stay, I feel like. But this coin versus that coin, I don't know. That's speculating. So I put a little bit in there, but for me, that feels like gambling, and I'm not a gambler. So I like things that are more set. And this is probably going to be controversial. People are going to be like, that's not gambling. I don't even really like gold because I'm what is the value? I know for millennia, gold has been considered, considered a measure of wealth, but it goes, up and down. And millennials don't like gold as much. It's not who's to say that people still feel like gold is valuable in a down economy. If it was really Armageddon right now, apocalypse, I wouldn't want gold. I'd rather have chickens and eggs. It's more practical you could trade. So one of the things that I had been starting to look into in terms of minerals was I haven't gone there yet, but just different copper and different minerals that are used more in technology that have a value outside of just what people say it is, but they're actually useful. I was looking, but I haven't invested in there yet. So mostly my investments are just in real estate with the option of the stocks I have.
Yeah, that's interesting. And I hear you on that, with the minerals, there are other options out there. And what is the best? that's a whole nother learning. Whole nother learning.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. If you're going to actually be successful at it. So, well, yeah. And man, the writing has been on the wall that this was going to happen. And it was so funny last year, everybody was like, oh, it's going to be, you know, there's so much even controversy over how bad is it going to be when it comes. I don't think anybody expected this at all.
No, not really. Though I was at an event in early February, and Harry Dent, who was a very successful market forecaster. He did foresee 2008 coming. He had called that one. And in February, he was saying, because we're due for a recession. He called that we'd be in it by May. He said, I see it by May. He goes, unless like the coronavirus, because the coronavirus was just starting and China had just started to shut down. He was like, unless the coronavirus becomes more serious, and then that could cause a recession. So he did say that in early February. And he was saying, and I see that this is going to be the worst recession, even worse than 2008. In 2009, he says, this will be maybe even worse than the depression. He was like, it's going to be bad. That's what he had called in the early February. I don't know I don't know if he's right. He'd been calling for like the recession for like 5 or 6 years now. It's been a while that he was saying like, we're just about to do it. It's just about to come. But I think with all of the quantitative easing, the low interest rates, like the government was keeping the system propped up. So because it was like juicing up the system, it was keeping it kind of artificially high. So it was a matter of time, but I don't know if anybody, even he, might have thought it would be that bad. Although one of the things he says is he doesn't necessarily think, he was saying there will be, and this is an interview I heard recently with him, there will be a bounce in the market. Not quite to the high levels. It'll go really far down. It'll bounce. He's like, take your money out. He's like, because it's never going to go back up to the levels again that we've seen in our lifetime. That was his prediction. I don't know if that's true or not, but that's why I like real estate. Like cash flowing property. Like you're like real property cash flow. And that's why I started to go more and more into it, but in different asset classes in the recent years.
Yes. You know, you also have such a good reminder to be out there. You know, I mean, I love participating in, you know, online networking and such and traveling as I can. But, you know, they always say your net worth is your network. And like, or maybe I have it flipped, you know, but I like just the fact that, I mean, like, I know you're always networking and going places and hearing different things. And I mean, that's a great way also to make sure that you're aligned with people and that you're expanding your thinking and that you're not closed-minded, like this is the track I'm on and it's the only way, because you're going to get hit by something unless you're aware of everything going on around you.
Yeah, that's such good. That's so true. I do invest a lot to go out there and keep learning. I don't know everything there is to know. And I'm always trying to be around people that are smarter than me, that I can learn from, and just get out, get new perspectives, and hear different ways of doing things. And in terms of, you're saying, well, like three things that I'm doing to prepare.
Yes.
So one is with keeping diversified. The other is really with like that psychology piece, like getting that my mindset to a place where when opportunities come, I'm not like held down by fear and anxiety. There's so much fear and anxiety right now. Most people are going to contract. Most people are going to like go, I'm just going to hold on to my money or do whatever.
It's fine. It's all fine.
Or like, not just mine. Like, I'm afraid of losing it. So I'm just, they're operating out of fear. And, which is totally normal right now, but it's not going to serve. So like feeling the feelings you're feeling, but then just being able to take action when the opportunities show up, because there are so many opportunities that are going to show up right now, more than ever, but only the people who have the courage and the mental fortitude to like move in a direction that's opposite of the crowd, because the crowd is going to retreat, the crowd's going to run scared, the crowd, like, you know, you have to go against the herd right now, and that's where the opportunities will lie. So, but that takes a mind, you know, that takes having that the right mindset, the right psychology for that. So I invest a lot in my psychology, like getting that personal development and having that psychology, and I spend a lot of time to keep myself centered and balanced in the midst of all the chaos. And I think that is one of the things that any investor will need to do in order to be successful. And the third thing that I've been looking at, and I think will be helpful, is understanding which asset classes, which opportunities are going to be, are poised to do well regardless of what happens with the economy. And, you know, that has to do with being in like markets that have, you know, that are very, like, they're diverse and they're robust, you know, strong, diversified economies with lots of different asset classes, lots of different industries. I mean, right now we are in this Black Swan event where like pretty much every industry is being affected. You know, I can't think of any, well, maybe medical is doing okay right now, but right. Otherwise, like food and toilet paper, maybe. But otherwise, you know, pretty much everyone else is hurting. And, but we will get on the, we will get to the other side of virus, and, you know, there are people still, you know, people still need to go out. And there are certain things that are still poised to do well. So, regardless of what's happening, and looking at what are those investments that will do well, you know, in any market. So I do believe that, I still am a believer in B class multifamily in a strong market. I feel like certain markets that were a little weaker, they may not recover as much, but
yeah.
I think in you know, probably your Dallas and your Atlantas, and you know, like, those are strong markets that should be fine. So I think, and people always need that kind of housing. So I think that that's still a strong asset class. I think mobile homes, mobile home parks, that's a good asset class to be in, like super low income housing. That's like, I mean, more need of for that, not less. I think self-storage, will probably have an uptick with what's going on. I think, medical office, definitely assisted living facilities, and like senior homes, because there's still that wave of, you know, 10,000 people a day turning 85. There's still this like silver tsunami coming. So,
yes.
That wave is not going to stop. So there's going to be that need. I think you're going to have a lot of maybe foreclosures and non-performing notes will be an area that's ripe, as well as tax liens, tax deed investing. So all of those, I think, are ones that are still poised to do really well in this coming economy. And then different like tech models. So I was talking about, you know, investing in a startup that has a real estate base. I think there's still things that are online. You're going to have more of that. So there are opportunities out there, but people really need to think about, okay, what are the opportunities that'll be there when people are, you know, when there's not as much money or people are struggling. It's going to be different than when things are going really well and when you're expecting things to uptick and rise. So that's where I'm looking, and that's how I've been thinking about investing in the and for the past couple of years, but especially now. So now I'm just doubling down on the asset classes and strategies, I think, are poised to do well.
Are you feeling, if you don't mind, I always figure anyone can veto a question, but are you feeling comfortable mm-hmm. since you did take time to prepare and you were, you know, being prudent and saying, okay, we're at this point in the economic cycle, we gotta be due for a flush out soon. Are you feeling comfortable with where you are with your current, you know, assets and where they'll perform? I've heard so many of such a broad spectrum of people that were positioned, but no one predicted this.
No one predicted this. So there is the last one I forgot that I did do investments in last year, and so we got a portfolio of houses in a market. They're mostly Section 8 housing. So that's also, I think, a market that's probably do well. I think like my Section 8 home should be fine. Unless the government implodes and we have bigger problems than this, but that'll be the least of my problems.
Yeah.
I think some of my I have some C-class houses that aren't Section 8. Those tenants are going to have a hard time. So just like we have to work with them, or also our, in our multifamily, they're like our, you know, we will be having to work with our clients, our tenants to make sure that they can pay. I think our B class, most of our multifamily right now is, actually all of our multifamily right now is B class. So that they're a little more, set up to weather this storm. There are more of them that have like maybe white collar jobs or jobs that they can work from home. So they're a little better off than so I'm glad we got rid of most of our C-class housing last year, our C-class multifamily. Because I think the B-class will weather this storm a little better.
Yeah.
we have, some industrial, so like some, and like our industrial office parks that have like small and medium sized businesses. So we have like six office parks in Houston, just different types of businesses.
Yeah,
you know, small businesses are suffering right now. There's help for them, but it's a variety of businesses, and it should be okay. I'm not too worried about those investments, unless like the city of Houston implodes. But I think, there'll always be small business in this country, and they'll need space. Like bakeries and garages and things like they need space.
Speaking my language with bakeries.
Yeah. So it's like, if you're like certain things you can bring in, into your house, but you have like a big bakery, you need like a bigger space. So I think those are fine. We have a mobile home park that's set to do well. Like, so most of our investments are well positioned. I'm not too worried. But there, this is, again, unprecedented. So we'll see what happens long term. Like if we continue to be halted much longer, I don't, it is going to have a down effect. But I think with the geographic and asset class diversity, we should be okay.
Yeah, that's really, you are so diversified. Now, have you, I'm certain that you've heard, just as I've heard, different strategies that, operators are using right now to, just continue to have rent coming in their mm-hmm. multifamily assets. I've heard some people say, incentivizing, giving discounts if you pay your rent on time. I've heard people say,
or rent early. Yeah.
Like some different things like that. Like what's your take? Because I think a lot of people listening are probably, grappling with, what's the best play on that? Or, in your opinion, you're in a, we're all in different positions depending on our asset classes and how, things were, prepared. So, but what's your position or ideas on that?
Yeah, so definitely it's better to be proactive, you know, working with tenants, but giving them, so with some of our properties, we're giving incentives to pay early. So like, if you pay, you'll get $50 off your rent if you pay your April rent, like now, or you get $100 off if you do April and May, right? And so there's like, we try to figure out like, how can we incentivize so it keeps the cash flow coming in, especially now, because maybe in April, May, like more of them will have lost jobs. So if they like prepaid rent, then that will help. And just like, and then also thinking about how can we connect our tenants with services that might help them be able to pay rent. So getting them, helping, oh, you lost your job. Here's how you get on unemployment, or here's this this program that could help you. So just like learning what are the options out there that can help our tenants should, God forbid, they lose their jobs, then we can send them to different services that will help them be able to weather the storm and be able to pay for rent. So I think a lot of people are hearing, oh, like there's no evictions now or this, and it's like, that means free rent. Like, that's not what that means. Like, we're not going to kick you out in the, like, right now, you know, in the middle of this, but it's like, you will have to pay rent. It's not like, it's not rent abatement. Like, it's not, it doesn't mean that you get free rent for forever. Or even free rent for like, right, for now. It's not free rent. That's not what it means. So just like really like teaching people what that means, and then helping them be able to survive, but also giving them incentives to prepay that, like maybe that you can take a haircut off the rent, but at least you have it. So, and then also focusing on keeping the tenants we have versus we're, you know, even if we could, be doing work on them, we can't because of coronavirus, but even if we could, there was sort of stopping our improvements and not necessarily focusing on getting the rent bumps that we were hoping for, but really like, how can we keep it stable, have give people incentives to stay in their places. We're not raising rents. We're going to keep the rents the same. We're going to just keep them in place. And so the focus now, instead of like getting the NOI up, and the focus now is really more like keeping the NOI, keeping the income where it is. So that's where we're shifting, and then helping tenants be able to weather the storm. So those are some of the strategies that we're doing.
I've seen so much care coming out from operators right now, you know, and even with how you're saying like, okay, well, these are how we can, I mean, these are all ways that you're helping. It's mutually beneficial, but I think sometimes that we can get such a bad rap, you know, the media can make it look like, you know, people are just, you know, kind of greedy and everything. And I love that it's like, no, let's make this work for everybody, you know. And
yeah.
I mean, we have mortgages to pay for, you know, whatever property it is. It's not like, so I love that you've, you know, the creative solutions out there to say, okay, this is how we can help our tenants, and this is how we can make sure that we're still performing. It's, the wins are still.
Yeah. Yeah, because we still need to pay the mortgage and the utilities and our, you know, our insurance, etc. So having, you know, we just have to set it up so that we can kind of maintain our obligations while also helping our tenants to keep a roof over their head, because nobody wants to lose housing right now. And, you know, hopefully it's just, you know, we'll be able to get on this other side with very few deaths and everyone, and maybe just get back to work. That's the goal. But you know, yeah. So for right now, we're just trying to stay the course and, you know, help everyone, be able to meet their obligations.
Yeah. Wow. Well, I really appreciate your time and just being able to have this very candid conversation and, you know, hear your strategies and everything. Is there anything else that you'd love for the audience to, you know, to think about or to know or to encourage? Or
yeah, so I feel like, you know, it's important to remember, and this is part of my philosophy, I feel like life happens for us, not to us. So, you know, whatever situation you're going through, and I've just posted something on Facebook, and I was talking about, like, I remember in the last downturn, I had, I had been fired from my job, like, right before. So earlier in 2008, I was pregnant. It was very unexpected.
I read this post.
Yeah, I was like, quite a surprise. I got called in by my boss thinking I was going to get a bonus. Instead, I got, like, fired because I was like, I've been working so hard, so okay, I'll get a bonus. No. So that was a shock, but I was really pregnant at the time. So I thought, okay, I'm just going to wait till after I give birth, I'll have a little maternity period, and then I'll look for another job. And then, like, within a month after my daughter was born, like, that market was in the tank, and started to free fall. So I had to, and then my husband, who's self-employed, graphic designer, his income went down 90%. It was a really scary time. So for those of you who are out there, like, freaking out, I get it. It can feel really scary and insecure right now. What saved us was having, we had a couple rental properties at the time. We were able to sell one, and we used those proceeds we started to flip houses, but it basically, those, that real estate helped keep a roof over our heads. And it gave us options, and it gave us a safety net. So, you know, for those of you out there, wondering what should I do, or being really scared, it's just if I hadn't have gotten fired, I wouldn't have leaned into real estate. I probably would still be a miserable lawyer today. It was a gift that my boss at the time gave me. It didn't feel like it, but it was. And now my life is so much richer and better, richer in every way I can imagine. Because of that. So when you're in the midst of this doo-doo, you can, like, look around and go, okay, like, how can this be a gift? How can I pivot? How can I, like, if I make this work even better for me? Like, where is the opportunity? Where is the gift? And, being able to ask that question really helped us at the time. And maybe that will help you.
Oh, I love it. Opportunity abounds. So, and especially when everybody else is running scared, that's when you know the opportunity is, like, it's right around the corner.
Oh. Yeah, absolutely.
I'm going to be leaving all sorts of awesome links in the show notes so that you can connect up with Monique, and you need to connect with her. And especially if you are a lady investor, I highly encourage you. You need to go, like, run and click on the link so that you can get into the Real Estate Investor Goddesses Facebook group and just start following Monique and getting connected with other like-minded women. It's really special. I mean, I always say I have three older brothers, so I'm used to being in, like, the boy world. And then when I got into multifamily investing, it's like, oh, it's kind of the boy world still. And so finding these little pockets of women, it's just a nice little camaraderie to be together and encourage and cheer each other on. And so many, gosh, Monique, you have attracted so many incredible, I just can't speak highly enough about everybody that's in that group. So I'm grateful to be part of that group and just to get the wisdom, the experience, expertise, and you know, you kind of talk like girls.
So, yeah, it's our sisterhood. So come join our sisterhood.
Yeah, so make sure you do that. And that's that, you know, and if you're a gentleman out there listening, because there are more of you in this than there are us, make sure you follow Monique, because she kicks butt and she's awesome. So thanks again, Monique, for joining me today. I really appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me, Julie.
Thanks so much for joining me for another episode of Ask Me How I Know. My guests are the most humble successes, so be sure to show them your appreciation by rating this episode 5 stars, which sounds silly, but let's be real. Ratings, likes, and shares, they take no time at all, but make all the difference in the world, if only to boost morale. Also, since I don't spend time on the how and why they got into investing, be sure to check out the show notes to get to know more about today's guests, including other podcasts they've been on that has a more traditional format that will give other details about their investment journey. It'll also tell you things like the most influential person in their life and what they're reading right now, as well as how to connect with them. And please, subscribe and rate Ask Me How I Know so it reaches other listeners like you. Until next time, go find your freedom.